Welcome to Skies Revival Radio. Many have attended the Sky Family Revival concerts and have been greatly touched by the Holy Spirit. This program was created to keep that fire alive. Today is the day to wake up from all our worldly distractions to seek first the kingdom of God. Nothing will satisfy your soul like giving Jesus first place in your life. Nothing will restore our country except for those who are called by His name to start seeking the Lord with all their might. And this is revival, that we would seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Join us today. Let revival begin with you.
Welcome to Skies Revival Radio. We're glad you could join us today. This is Tom from the Sky Family. Before we start our lesson today, I want to encourage anyone who would like to schedule a Sky Family concert at your church or at your community gathering or your outdoor event, please give us a call at 508-887-1051. That number again is 508-887-1051. Or if you would like to schedule revival meetings, we are glad to be a part of what you're doing. We travel extensively. It doesn't matter where you live. We'll probably be able to work you into the schedule. So give us a call or go to our website. Just Google the Sky Family and the email address, tourmanager@theskies.org will be on there. You can contact us by email. Thank you. We look forward to seeing you. Our lesson today comes from Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 through 26. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life shall lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake shall find it. For what will a man be profited if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" Earlier in the Gospels, Jesus says that the way is narrow that leads to life, but now he's making the way even narrower by starting with, "If anyone wishes to come after me," he's making it clear that there is no other way to get to God except to deny ourselves and to pick up our cross. And this is very alarming to us. He says there's no easy way. There's no comfortable way. There's no other path. If this way seems too hard, there's no alternate route. And this doesn't bode very well for the latest trends in the church. There is no easier way. Now, we are all geniuses for trying to enlarge the narrow gate. We want to open it up a little bit so we can fit in with all of our baggage, with our lifestyle, and all the things that are important to us. We want to get through the narrow gate with our worldly lifestyle intact. This is so prevalent in the church today. We want to find a broader way, an easier way, something less extreme. So we look around and we see that no one else seems to be worried about a narrow way. No one else is worried about their worldly lifestyle or about compromise. So why should I be concerned? We hear these words of Jesus, and they seem to be too much for us to handle. They're too extreme. And of course, that's why the Gospels are the least read books in the Bible. However, if these words appear to be too extreme, there is a quick solution. If this makes us uncomfortable, all we have to do is watch a couple movies, have a couple beers, and within a few hours, the pain is gone. We can forget all about the narrow way, and there's no need to panic. However, if we're interested in obtaining eternal life, and we go back to this word, the gospel pierces us. It says, "If anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself." It removes all the wiggle room. Jesus is, in essence, going back to the parable of the thorny soil. That is, the seed, good seed, that is in good soil, that is choked out by the deceitfulness of the pursuit of riches and all of our worldly pursuits. And so we have two large hurdles to cross as we would take Jesus' words seriously and apply them to our lives. The first hurdle is that we love all the pleasures of the world and we don't want to let go of them. These things ensnare us and work in us to kill the good seed. It says in the book of Galatians that our worldly desires are at war with our spirit, which wants to go with God. We want to be with him, but instead we keep getting tripped up by all the pleasures and the distractions of the world. We keep doing the things that are hindering us. If you are, for instance, a middle-class Christian family, you have your big guy or big girl toys, and you have your entertainment, you have your sports, you have your computer, you have your fun, you have your worldly lifestyle. And that may come as a shock to you when I say worldly lifestyle, and you may say, what do you mean worldly lifestyle? Well, exactly that. We have an outward appearance, perhaps, of being different from the world at large or of going to church, but inwardly we're the same as everyone else, and we're seeking after the same worldly things. We seek all the things that are contrary to the work of the Holy Spirit in us. They are warring against us to make us forget about the things of God, the urgency of our times. Behold, the bridegroom comes. He is at the doorstep. This is not a time for us to be distracted by all the pursuits of the world. This is a time for us to get dressed in his robes of white, to have our robes washed, to have our hearts fixed on Christ. This is no time to be messing around with loving the world. And this love of the world does not even have to be sinful per se. All these things have to do is pull our thoughts away from God, and it works as well as a sin for keeping us from seeking the Lord. Because God requires that we seek him with all of our hearts, there is no casual seeking. No one just wanders into the kingdom of heaven. Rather, it says, you will find me if you seek me with all your heart. The kingdom of God is not for the casual seeker. It is not for the armchair Christian. You have to be desperate for the kingdom of God, and you have to learn to want God more than the things of the world. These distractions serve to put us to sleep so that we become unconcerned about our eternal welfare and we are unconcerned about eternal things. We are in a marvelous generation that is so concerned about our present world that we completely neglect our eternal perspective. I don't know if there's ever been a generation like ours that is so completely unconcerned about eternity. We forget that it's our immortal soul that is hanging in the balance. If we can be distracted one day after another, after another, after another, we can be distracted right out of the kingdom of God. And that's if you are a good, quote, Christian family. How much worse for those who are not even trying to pursue a godly course? All these worldly desires are at war with us. If we keep being distracted with worldly things and worldly pursuits, we will lose out on the kingdom of God. So the Lord tells us here that if we're going to follow him, we will have to deny ourselves. That means that we're going to have to choose between God and the things of the world. We will have to make a decision between all of these things that we love so much and him. And that choice is life and death. As you look at the things in your life that are so important, whether you are a homeschooler caught up in videos or you're a street person strung out on drugs, it makes no difference whatsoever. We are on a level playing field. We all have desires of the flesh that war against our spirit to distract us from seeking God earnestly. So we must look at the things in our lives that are standing between us and God. We must examine them. What are the things that take all of our attention? What are the things that absorb us to the point that we really don't spend any time seeking the Lord on a regular basis? And so you might look at those things and truthfully say, I can't live without these things. It's my whole life. It's my boat. How can I live without my boat? How can I live without my fishing or my hunting or my videos or my whatever the things are that we love so much? How could God require this of me? Well, that's a tough choice that we all have to come to grips with. One person may not be able to conceive of life without parties and drugs and drinking. Others might not be able to live without their car or their health food and their healthy diet. Doesn't make any difference. In every case, God requires us to surrender and say, Lord, I want you more than anything. And we might say, I don't know how to do it, but Lord, I want to go your way. Help me to surrender. I can't do it on my own. And that is true. You can't do it on your own. None of us can overcome our sins. We must simply cry out to the Lord and say, Lord, help me. This is life and death. I need your help. You'll notice that when the Canaanite woman came to Jesus and was so desperate to have her daughter cured, all she did was cry out and say, God, help me. And God heard her cry. It was just a passion plea. It was not eloquent. It was just her heart cry, Lord, help me. And that's what we need to do, is say, Lord, help me. Whatever that we're snared in, God will help us. We can say to the Lord, I'm choosing to follow you and I want to follow you, but I need your help because I can't even think about life without all these things. Then God will come to you. He will begin to reveal how empty and shallow and ugly and stupid these distractions really are. He'll give us the eyes of eternity. We'll begin to see the shallowness of our distractions and how really, truly unsatisfying these things are. Then he'll begin to reveal how sweet and fragrant it is to be with God. He'll give you something better than what you have now. But if you do not cry out, if you do not address these things that are distracting you from him, we will forfeit the kingdom of God. Our distractions will kill us. This is what it means by picking up our cross in the Western Hemisphere in the 21st century. In many parts of the world, picking up our cross is literal. And you may have to lay down your life to follow Jesus, and many do. But in the West, in the Western Hemisphere right now, that's not required of us yet. However, everyone everywhere must pick up the cross of Christ. There are no exceptions. For us in the West, picking up the cross is choosing Christ over the things of the world that we love so much. If we look at it like a bride about to be married, we can get a clear picture of what the Holy Spirit is trying to accomplish in us. If a girl were engaged and found herself looking at other men before she got married, we can easily understand that she's not fit to marry the man because her heart is divided. She doesn't love him more than perhaps someone else. And so it is for us. Does Jesus deserve a bride that loves everything and all kinds of things more than him, that would rather spend their time doing X, Y, or Z than spending time with him? Does Jesus deserve this? No, indeed. The Father is preparing a fit companion that loves his Son more than the world. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we want to be of that company. We want to be that fit companion. We want to be those who are separated out from the world, that cling to Jesus, that follow the Lamb wherever he goes. We want to be that one whose heart is aflame with love for Jesus and is willing to pick up the cross, is willing to put to death the distractions and the false loves that would keep us from him. Lord, we want you, but we need your help so desperately because we're so weak. Even as you said, Lord, you said, our spirit is willing, but our flesh is weak. Yes, Lord, our flesh is weak. We really do need your help. Holy Spirit, strengthen us to follow after you with all of our heart, even to the laying down of all of our worldly distractions and our worldly loves. Make revival begin with me today. May revival break out in me, in my community, through me. Lord, may revival begin with me today. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much for being part of this broadcast. Please contact us. Please share with us any needs that you have. Enable us to pray for you. We'd love to hear from you. Please get in touch with us. Just Google Sky Family and we'll come up. And all of our contact information is right there. We look forward to hearing from you. Be sure to visit skiesrevivalradio.com, where you'll find many encouraging resources, including the first book of our Revival Begins With You series. It's called Through the Narrow Gate, The Surprising Door into Radiant Life, and it's available in hard copy or download. You'll also find Celtic Revival music CD and other uplifting materials there. We look forward to getting together with you again next week.
These radio programs are aired weekly all across the country and on internet radio. It is a faith ministry, and they are supported only by the Sky Family and a little group of concerned Christians who contribute to the radio ministry. If you have been helped or encouraged or edified in any way, would you consider joining that small group to keep these broadcasts going out? It takes a lot of money to produce these programs and to get them out to those who can hear and be encouraged to begin the exciting adventure of personal revival. Your joining with us in this ministry would be a real blessing to many people. Because we don't deduct any kind of administration fee, every dollar you send goes directly to getting the gospel out into this dark world. So even a small donation goes a long way. If you go online and type in Skies Revival Radio, our homepage will come up. Somewhere on the page will be a donate button. If you click on that, you will find a number of ways you can join us in this important work. Or call us at 508-887-1051. That's 508-887-1051. Or email us at tourmanager@theskies.org. If you can't afford anything, don't worry. You can still join our team by standing in the gap and praying with us week by week as the broadcasts go out. It takes a lot of money and a lot of prayer to have the gospel go forth through the media. Thanks so much for your help financially and in prayer. May God bless you.
This song is from the Sky Family. It is available as a download from the Sky Family website.